This quarter, our lesson is on health. And I can assure you of one thing. Rob and I will certainly take a much different look at this subject than what we would normally say would be the norm. Is that correct? Absolutely. So today we're dealing with choices. Now, I'm a sales trainer, have been for the last 20 years. And so when we're in a sales situation, home security systems, we never give the customer a choice of do you want it or don't you want it. That's suicide in our business. So what we do is use what we call, among many closes, an alternative close. An alternative close would, we can install you on Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. Which one of those three dates would be the best for you? See, what we try to do is make it easy. If you're selling shoes, you could say, well, do you prefer the brown pair or do you like the black pair? If you're selling suits, do you want one pair of pants with the coat or would you prefer to have two pairs of pants to change it up? You never say directly, do you want this or don't you? Now, what does the word choices mean to you? Anybody?
We always have choices.
What do you mean by that?
Options.
Pardon?
Options.
Options. Are options important?
Yes. Yes. It makes you
want to
make a sale.
We limit those options. In our business, we say that a customer must say no 7 times before you quit.
That's why I don't like sales.
That's why we feed the world.
I've got it down to 5.
You got it down to 5, see? That's good. Yeah, he understands. And what do you sell?
Oh.
That's right, see? So you don't say, do you want a car or don't you want a car? Do you want the car with this nice Bose stereo in it? Options. Are options important?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. About 30 years ago, I made a major decision in my life. And from that, I learned something very important. I would never, ever be in a situation again in my life where I had no options. So I work hard to always have options. What choices did you all make this morning?
Come here.
Well, come here. That is a choice.
What to wear?
What to wear? Did you consult Rodney on what you should wear, or did you just make that decision on your own?
No, but I did use his reaction.
Oh, okay.
As a measure.
All right. All right. What other choices did you make today?
What to eat.
What to eat. Okay. We make choices every day. All the time we make choices.
You make choices every moment in your head. It starts in your brain first before you put it into action.
Okay, all right. What governs your choices? Now, some people make choices strictly out of convenience.
Your attitude.
Attitude? What else?
Your value system.
What do you mean by that?
Most of the choices you make are based on your values. Your values determine for you what is right, what is wrong.
Okay. All right. What else?
Your desires in life.
Desires in life? What do you mean by that, Willard?
What you want to be, what you want your family to be.
Okay.
How you want to appear to other people.
Okay. All right.
I heard a young voice.
Yes.
The outcome.
The outcome. Okay. Well, that's unique for a young person. Most young people do not look at the outcome. They look at what's convenient or what's in it for me. Yes.
She actually brings up a great point. When Brock was 6, I had taken this parenting class, and they really encouraged you to give your child choices. but to understand that whatever choices you had to be happy with either result. And I remember him sitting there yelling, I hate choices, because he realized that he would now take responsibility for the choice that he took. And if you look at it, we really live in a society that does not want to take responsibility for their choices. They want to blame everybody else. So we may talk about wanting freedom, mm-hmm. but we really want to be able to blame everybody else for anything that goes wrong in our life, not recognizing that everything truly is a choice.
Okay. All right. Is it important when you make a choice that there's a good consequence or a bad consequence to that choice? Is that important?
Yes.
Who said yes? All right, explain.
I can't think of anything.
All right, well, we'll take a yes. Anybody else have an opinion? Is it important?
Well, good or bad is just your perspective on it. Whether it's good or bad, somebody else may see what you think is bad as being good.
Okay. All right.
Some choices don't have a good or bad.
Pardon?
Some don't have a good or bad. Some of them have.
Okay, give me an example.
Should I wear this or this today?
Okay. All right. When you're nice looking, that's not a problem. What's this got to do with health?
Oh, a lot.
Yes.
To me, it seems like a choice. If decisions are always a choice, yes, no, good, bad, you know, then that's somewhat of a conflict. But eventually, I think character and our value system begin to build in an automatic response. So it's not really a matter of a choice. It's just a natural response. It's the way we live out our life. It's a life. It becomes a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to sit down and make a big decision. Well, do I want to have breakfast or not? It's just part of the lifestyle.
Okay.
And I think that takes us into a discussion on the health issue.
Would it be fair to say that you chose that lifestyle, though?
You build that lifestyle through a series of choices that just become an automatic response. And I think that's what gets us to the character development.
Okay. All right. Willard?
But you still have the option of...
Hold on just a second. Go ahead.
...choice of what you're going to eat for breakfast.
No, it's what I give him.
Life's a lot easier for us men because the three times a week the women allow us to make a choice becomes very important. You know, as say, Willard?
In my training in the Army, when I'm leading a company of men and lives are in danger, I have to make decisions not only for myself but for those men.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that I make the right decision. Sometimes you make the wrong decision, but whatever decision you make, you've got to learn to live by that decision, right or wrong.
Okay.
You ask if what does this have to do with the health?
Yes.
You know what? It's interesting how the world is noticing the health and longevity and quality of life of specifically Christian Seventh-day Adventists.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
by the way, do you know that the Mormons have now passed us in longevity of life?
Wow.
We are now second.
It's probably because we aren't sticking to the principles and guidelines that we have. But I was going to say, and I know this for a fact, because I'm part of the Seventh-day Adventist 10-year study,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to figure out how are Adventist Christians able to live a quality life. My neighbor, who was also my friend and was my college roommate at Southwestern Adventist University,
mm-hmm.
her mother lives with her. Her mom is 94. I was riding my bike this week, and I passed the house, and her mom was sneaking out of the house. So I said, let me go talk to Miss Anderson, and I went, and we sat on the porch. I said, where are you going? I mean, the lady, her mind is still sharp. She's still independent. She held a conversation. I was asking her about her youth, her life, her... I was amazed. The quality of life and the health at 94 and independence that she mm-hmm. has, it is a true blessing. And just okay. listening to her lifestyle, mm-hmm. it was beautiful.
Okay. All right. Well, let's look at some choices on health. And let's try to analyze them. Now, the first one that came up in the quarterly is the story of our good friend Daniel. And we love to use Daniel as a temperance person, correct?
Yes.
All right, so let's analyze this. Daniel's young. We guess 18, 19, 16, somewhere in there, young. And he's in Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar comes in and ransacks the city. And he tells the guy, bring back some of the best, healthy-looking guys because we're going to incorporate them into our Babylonian kingdom. Okay? So Daniel comes in with a bunch of his friends. And what's the first thing that the Babylonians do to Daniel?
Changed
his name. Did he object?
No.
Very good. Okay. Not at all. In fact, what do we know the three Hebrew boys as?
Shadrach.
And what kind of names were those? Babylonian names. Okay. Then what happens when they come and they want to put these fine Jewish young men into training? What happens?
They want to give them a special diet.
Okay, going to give them a special diet. And what was that diet?
Meat of kings.
Meat off the kings. What else? Some wine. What else?
Same that the king's table.
Okay. King being cruel? Huh. What does Daniel say? Pardon?
So this gives him some pulse and water.
Okay. What did he say about their food?
Unclean.
Defiling?
Pardon?
It was defiling.
Okay. Didn't want to eat it, did he?
No.
So what does he finally talk the captain's servant into doing?
Give us a trial.
Give us a trial. Why? Because the captain said, hey, I've been told to feed you, and if you don't eat this, guess who's going to get punished? Okay, that's right. Now, we use Daniel as a great temperance symbol. Correct? Now, why do you think that he did not want to eat the king's food?
He wasn't used to it.
Just hold that thought. What else? Pardon?
Also idols.
Who said the idols? Okay. What did Paul have to say about that meat offered to idols?
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
But in Daniel's mind, if he were to eat it, it would have been an act of worship.
How about when they changed his name? What's the difference? He didn't stand up and say, don't call me Belshazzar. My name is Daniel. I'm a Hebrew.
Because his identity was wrapped up in not just his name, really, but it was in the worship aspect. Okay. That was really his identity.
Okay. Now, got questions. I like to ask questions. What kind of diet was he used to? What kind of diet did the king want to give him? Okay. Now, if you're used to eating a simple diet and somebody takes you out to Furr's Cafeteria where you can get all you want for $6.99 and you eat two chicken fried steaks, cream gravy, mashed potatoes, two pieces of pie, one with two scoops of ice cream, and some good old deep fried okra.
That describes your meals.
That's very, very specific.
Did somebody's cell phone go off for Willard? you a story, oh, that's true, because I only tell true stories. I went out with a Jew, a long time ago, who's an elder in this church. And we went to a Chinese buffet. So we're going through line. He's a good friend of mine. And he says, oh, that's got some shrimp in it. So he takes a big spoon of it and says, ah, a little bit of shrimp not going to kill you. And I ate three big plates at the buffet. Which one of us was the health nut?
Neither.
What?
Neither.
Oh, but he ate four or five pieces of little shrimp in his food.
What's worse, a cup of coffee or a can of Coke?
Well, I got a story on that one. When I was pastoring in Oklahoma, one Saturday night after an evangelistic series that we had, there was a group of about 10 of us that went to a pizza place. And normally when we went to eat pizza, I drank root beer. Well, this particular night, the root beer and the Sprite deals were broke.
Wow.
So it came down to a Dr. Pepper or water. Now, they give you bread and water in prison. See? So pizza and water just didn't hit it. So I thought this through. And then I said, well, normally I would not do this, but I'm thirsty. I would like to have a Dr. Pepper. Now, who would like to guess how long it took before they called the president of Oklahoma Conference and said, do you know what your preacher is doing down here? And they said, what's that? He says, he drank a Dr. Pepper last night. Can't make these up. So Elder Ryder, who I love dearly, just called me up and just said, drink water next time. Now, let's flash forward to a pastor who asked for a visit, and we went out to eat, and the pastor took me and Sue out to eat, and he ordered a Coke. And I'm thinking, man, good thing you wasn't pastoring 30 years ago. Do you see where we get? Daniel didn't want the king's food, I think primarily because it simply didn't make sense to eat that kind of food. He wasn't used to it. And he asked for what? A 5-year plan to see at the end of 5 years who was going to be much healthier than everybody else? Is that what he asked for? What did he ask for?
10 days.
What can you prove in 10 days? Nothing.
Prove you couldn't get sick. Actually, your blood cholesterol could change quite a bit.
Yeah, but they didn't have machines back there. See? The reason it was is the other little Hebrew boys who maybe or maybe not had just as a good relationship with God, we don't know, they ate it. Well, what do you think happened to them as they ate that rich king's food day after day after day after day? What kind of shape do you think they were in after 10 days?
Sluggish,
not feeling good. Maybe a little diarrhea. System not used to it. Maybe a little throwing up. Relaxed, unfocused. A little weak. It made good sense for Daniel not to partake of that food. His system wasn't used to it. Yes?
I think also, having been trained in the way that he was as a Hebrew, he had made a personal commitment to God for the lifestyle that he was choosing.
And he knew that the king's table, or what was offered there, went against that lifestyle. So I think part of it was, you know, if God knows what's best for me, and I've made a commitment with him, I want to stick to that.
Okay.
And I know this directly goes against it. So I'm going to make this choice.
Okay. Now, let's say we go in a time warp. And so the king says, oh, okay, y'all don't want to eat our food. How about if we bring you out 3 veg burgers and you eat them? Now, is he a big witness for God? How healthy are veg burgers?
Careful now.
Well, it's a good question. I'm just asking. I just ask questions.
I think it's still healthier than meat.
Okay, so it's a little bit less healthier. It's a joke. Let's get real. Didn't mean that to you personally. Pardon?
There seems to always be a quantity related to what you know. 2 French, you know, 2 fried steaks, and 3 vegetables.
Tell you, you don't get a body like this by accident. Here's my point. We love to be able to point out when you make a bad outward choice and we can identify it. We love to do that. We love a list that says this is good and this is bad. We feel comfortable doing that because we can just stand up in our own minds, if we're not careful, and other people and say, see, I don't eat that. And then we go and eat a bunch of garbage, all of it on the right list, and then we love to proclaim that we have the health message. God did give us some guidelines. Why did He give us these guidelines?
To help keep us healthy.
I thought it was a test.
For our benefit?
For our benefit, how?
With health benefits.
If He designed our bodies, He knows what's best for our bodies.
Okay. And so what's our motivation?
Optimal health here.
Pardon?
Optimal health here. I mean, we're here, so I want to live, you know, pain free.
Okay. Okay.
That guideline of what to put in this body helps me stay healthy.
Okay. All right.
Well, the more fit we are, the more able God is to, you know, use us for His purpose.
Okay, so God cannot use fat people. Hey, I just re-quote them. Yes.
I had a lady that I knew. She had been Adventist all her life, and was very, very strict health-wise. Exercise, ate right, yeah, the whole 9 yards. And late in her life, she got cancer. And she could not understand why God allowed her to get cancer, because she did this, she did eat that, she exercised, she did all this stuff. And I was talking to her, and I said, you know, how old are you? And she was in her 80s, and she's, or 70s, she's probably in her 70s, still working, still vibrant. And I was like, and you have cancer? I said, who knows how earlier, if you didn't have a healthier lifestyle, you would have gotten the same cancer. And regardless of whether you're healthy not to get cancer or do all the right things so that you'll stay healthy, God's promise was to be with you through it all. And I think His optimum goal is for us to be our best, not to save us from the cancers of the world. Because, I mean, really, that's neither here or there to Him. He wants us to have the best of life.
Amen. Okay. Is what you eat on your exam to get to heaven?
No.
Shouldn't be.
What do you mean by shouldn't be? There is no gray area in that question.
No, it's not. For a lot of us it is, especially Adventists. It is.
It is on your exam.
It is.
Okay.
What did Jesus eat when he was?
Well, let's see. Fish.
Wow.
Is that on our list for the day then?
I don't know, but he certainly had a wonderful opportunity to witness after the resurrection and say, you know, does anybody got any soy milk and veggie burger here?
You know, there's no telling what Jesus ate, honestly, because he was consistently, he was accused of being a glutton. He was consistently eating with people, of all different walks of life. He was so into community and being around people. I think that even with those examples that we have of Jesus dining with all sorts of different people, that ought to tell us that, you know what, and I agree with what she's saying for a lot of people, because even when I came into the Adventist message, you know, the health message was the right arm of the gospel. Is that how the term goes? Mm-hmm. And so essentially for a lot of people, it's like, okay, I've got to do this, and if I don't, I'm going to hell. And it's really ingrained in a lot of people's minds.
And my message to anybody that feels this way is, I hurt for them. Because I can only look at my life. It's the only one I can control. I tried to control Sue, but I gave that up. If God is looking for perfection in what I eat for me to have salvation, oh my goodness, what's he going to do with the rest of my life? If God is looking for that type of perfection in my life on simply what I eat or don't eat, I'm in trouble. And I say that just publicly. I'm in trouble. Because, believe it or not, this last week, I really, really, really got mad at somebody. And no telling what he's going to do with that one. Yes?
Yeah. While I think the health message is not subject, I think that was very important. Because we see prime examples. People get sick and they go to the doctor. They pull for the health message. Well, you know, they pull for the vegetarian diets and different diets to get them, to keep them on track and keep them living healthier. So some of us really need it. And we have to look in our lives personally and see, is this that for me or is it not?
Okay.
What about us that grew up on pork before we ever
found it? We just, lots of trouble.
Since my brother was 20 years old, he lived the perfect Adventist message, health message. He never drank anything he shouldn't drink. He never ate any meat, fish, nothing. He was never overweight. He was always active. He has been a very spiritual man all of his life. And when he was about 50, he became a diabetic. He had heart trouble, bypass surgery, and stents. He's had cancer now 3 different places in the last 15 years. And he wondered, well, he has been so careful since the heart trouble started. He's not eaten anything with any cholesterol. He keeps his blood sugar perfect. He hasn't done anything he shouldn't do that modern science says he shouldn't do, and Ellen White. And look at what is happening to him. And it's, you know, at first, you know, we're just kind of all in shock because this should not be happening to him. And you know what I've come to the conclusion? Is that good health is a blessing. We have all different kinds of blessings in our life. And health is definitely a blessing. Now I think we should eat right. We should do what we need to do and what our education tells us. And to follow through as best we can because we're going to feel better. And likely we are going to avoid a lot of problems. But it is no guarantee.
Okay.
It is absolutely no guarantee.
Rick?
Well, I think throughout, you know, my life, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of things I've done and a lot of choices I've made where my relationship with God, if it were a conversation, he might have said, you know, that probably wasn't the best thing to do.
Absolutely.
And yet, I don't believe his love for me or his desire to be with me eternally has ever faded. But he knows what's best. And I think when he instructs us on diet and exercise and healthful living, he does it because he knows how our body's built. But he also doesn't eliminate the or he doesn't change his relationship with me in any way.
Appreciate that. Teal, did you have your hand up?
Well, something was just baffling me about God saying our bodies are his temple.
Yes.
And he doesn't want us to defile the temple. I believe some text says if we destroy this temple, God will destroy us. Am I right?
Okay.
Better
sum up this mess that you got me into today. We were doing good till you came in. And then you got right off the old track.
I concur with Theo is saying it, even in the Old Testament when the Israelites came into the Promised Land or whatever else, and God did tell them that I will not bring you the disease of the Egyptians if you follow such. So yes, I think there are some guidelines. I feel that the problem occurs when the guidelines become gospel.
Okay. I have no problem. Now, I got to sum this mess up. So I appreciate it. All right. Children of Israel in the wilderness, and they decided they wanted meat. How did God handle that? Did he say, no, no, no? No. How did he handle it?
Gave them all they wanted.
Sent them all they wanted. Well, why? What a perfect way for him to witness right there. You want meat? I'll send you quail. Now, did he send them 2 quail per family? And what happened?
They got sick of quail.
What are important choices? Is an important choice shrimp in my salad or shrimp not in my salad? What choice is God interested in you making?
He's interested in us making the choice of having Him Lord of our lives.
Then why do we want to add on all these other things? There's only one choice that matters in our life. I understand choices build character. I believe in that. As a sales trainer, choices that you make every day in the sales business either lead you to success or lead you to not be a very good salesperson. I understand that. There's only one choice that matters in this universe. And that's very simply, as Bob Dylan says, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the devil? That's the choice. Got a good question for you, because I only ask good questions. We got here who wants to be a baby? Tommy, come here. Sit down there. See this person? She represents God. See this person? Very obviously who he represents. He represents the devil. Do you have the contrast? Very, very easy. Okay. Tommy's a newborn baby. And throughout her life,
she is going to be drawn if she does nothing. She's going to be drawn naturally to one or the other. Which one do you think that she's going to be drawn naturally to?
Creator.
Got both answers. Don't allow both answers in here. Which one, if nothing changes, will she be naturally drawn to?
Yep. Neither one.
I think you're naturally drawn to God because that is who created us, therefore there's a connection. Why is Satan working so hard if we were naturally drawn to Satan?
He tried to intercept
him. How many think? I want a hand on this one. We're going to go three ways. I like commitment. See, I like commitment. How many think that a natural draw would be to God?
Natural draw. Or an environmental.
I'm just talking about natural. How many think it's going to be to the devil? How many don't know and don't care? Thank you, Tommy. You did good.
I think there's
Rob, you're just a good character actor. You did very good.
There's a difference, though, between the natural draw, the way we were made, would draw us to God. The environment we live in.
Oh, I understand that. You didn't say environment. Now, please get this picture. This is what your father does for you. If you were to follow a natural path as God works in your life and He works in all of our lives, you will naturally be drawn to Him. You have a choice and you can reject God. How can anybody look at the cross of Calvary and see what God has done for you? And as you look at that cross, not be touched, not be moved, not something in your heart ignites and says, that man loves me. You, in order to be lost, has to stand up and say, I want no part of that man. And yet we want to focus on all the little things that should we or shouldn't we? Should we eat this? Never hear sermons on overeating. When there is one choice that overrides it all. As you look at the cross of Calvary, the choice is very, very plain. Do I follow Him or do I do what most of the people do? They look at the cross, they're touched, and they reject. Sin entered heaven by no one tempting, by no one bringing it in. It was just an angel who looked at God continually, and one day he said in his heart, this is not fair. And sin arose. As we're born into this world, God works in our lives to draw us to Him. We must reject that. And so at the end of time, when the great panoramic view comes, every person that is lost will see that time that God called and called and called and called and they rejected it. And it's at that time they fall to the ground and say, you are holy, you are just, You are correct. You are king. Please keep that in mind. You have to reject God in order to be lost. That's His promise to us. Certainly, when we get to know Him, what a blessing the health message is. Just ask people like me that have health problems. Ask people like me who violate the health laws. But praise God, my salvation is not based on what I eat. My salvation is based on, and Rick said it best, God's come down to me many times and said, "What in the world are you thinking? Father in heaven." Within us all beats that light that says, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." Don't know how many times you can make it plain, if I simply am lifted up, I will draw all to me. Doesn't mean we're all going to be saved. It means as we look, all of us have that choice to continue that relationship or stubbornly, unbelievingly say, "I want no part of life. Give me death." Doesn't make sense, Father, but neither does sin. Help us to make the right choice to stay on the path. Put our hand in yours and follow you to the kingdom and be with you forever. And yes, up there, the first thing, Father, we're going to go and eat. How ironic. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.